life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain.
On July the 15th, 1989, kids of all ages in Japan could hightail it down to the cinema to see a quadruple bill of cinematic entertainment. Mobile Cop G-Ban, Akko-chan's Secret, Akuma-kun, and Dragon Ball Z all hit the big screen as part of the second Toei Manga Matsuri of the year. We watched all three of those films, and we're here to tell you about them with returning Dragon Ball movie review guest, Lewis Smith.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yes, we've had to miss out Akuma-kun because it's not available in English, and even the version which is available is a terrible WMV copy where the frame rate seems out of whack. And in addition, it has some of the same problems as two of the things we will review.
I would have happily watched it and just guessed.
Well, I'll bear that in mind for next time we run short of them, because there is another Akuma-kun.
Mm. Is that made by the same guys as Gigigigitaro?
It is indeed, yes. I think a lot of the staff from the 80s Kitaro are working on Akko-chan here. I don't know, but I'm sure there was some crossover with Akuma-kun as well.
I mean, I wouldn't want to do an hour and a half long film with guessing the plot, but 25 minutes.
Yeah, they're all the short ones, yeah. Because Dragon Ball's the only thing. Dragon Ball, I think the other one's in with the Saint Seiya. So I'm guessing the Saint Seiya was the 50-minute one in the other one from this year.
Right.
But we're going to start off with I don't know which order they came in. I've just had a best guess based on how they were listed on the Japanese Wikipedia page. So we'll start with Mobile Cop G-Ban, Great Explosion at the Monster Factory of Fear. Airing on TV Asahi for 52 episodes from January 1989, Mobile Cop G-Ban is the eighth of the Metal Hero tokusatsu series from Toei. The brainchild of future Garo creator Keita Amemiya. He also did Zyrum. I think that got a live-action release in the UK in the 90s. Certainly the anime spin-off Iria did. G-Ban is the reanimated corpse of Detective Naoto Tomura, killed in the line of duty, and resurrected by Dr. Kenzo Igarashi as the cyborg policeman G-Ban.
I didn't get that bit from the film.
No, you would not, though. I've got this
Which
from...
Which actually changes everything.
The Wikipedia page. I also believe that the head bad guy is, like, produced from waste from Igarashi's labs as well. Accompanied by the amnesiac little girl, Mayumi Igarashi, who is seen falling off a waterfall in this film, and the Central City Police Force, he battles the criminal syndicate Bioron and their bionoid monsters, and the, is it like a specifically Metal Hero one? I think it might just be like everything else which isn't Kamen Rider and Sentai. I think there's like a separate wikia for them. Tells me that this film takes place between episodes 24 and 25 of the TV show. So I'm guessing Mayumi fell off the waterfall in episode 24.
Yes. That's my guess too. I was invested into that little plot line, actually.
This film is written by Noboru Sugimura, who also worked on the live-action Sukuben Daka and Kamen Rider Black from around this time, and directed by Michio Kanishi, who also worked on those same two shows. And our lead, Naoto Tomura, is played by Shohei Kusaka in his final acting role.
Did he die?
No, he went. Oh. He decided to move into talent management after this.
What? This is like the kind of role it's like... This is a career breaker.
Well,
in a good
I believe
way.
He said in an interview recently that he'd be happy to come back as G-Ban.
How old is he now?
Would be in his 50s, I guess. He was 25 years old here, which blew my mind, because I thought he was somewhere in his 30s.
Yeah, he's distinguished.
Having said that,
as an older man looks.
He doesn't get much screen time, because I feel like I feel like they wanted to pack in as much as Jeebun in his robot form as possible into this movie. And the other two main characters who we see here are Yoko Katagiri, who's played by Michiko Inokida, who is an idol.
I think is she meant to have special powers or something?
No, she's just a really good cop.
Because I was thinking we'll come to it, but it's like,
yes.
How does she, there's a few how does she manage that moments.
The entire film is just, yeah, a bit like that. She retired in 1991 after getting married. And Mayumi is played by Konomi Mishita, who retired upon entering junior high school and returned to public life in 2004 as a photographer. And looking at the Wikipedia page, apparently age six, she released a record promoting Cabbage Patch Kids.
I mean, they've all gone on to live very normal lives.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to guess Miyumi is the one who's had the... Konomi Mishita has, like, the least ordinary, because she wrote a book about her difficulty conceiving a child, or having a child, which has then been adapted into a drama itself. So.
Of course it has. Oh.
Yeah, of course. So, what happens in Mobile Cop Jeebun Great Explosion of at the Monster Factory of Fear? Well, let's first of all, did we enjoy our first contact with Mobile Cop Jeebun?
It was a bit of stupid for you, mind out fun.
How about you?
This is my second favorite. I loved it.
This is my second favorite film of today.
Second favorite? Oh, it's a tough one, but I liked it a lot more than I thought I was going to do. I think the practical effects are so good.
They were. Choreography. They really weren't.
No, I think... I don't know what kind of budget this is rocking, but
okay,
I think they do a lot
right.
With what they've got.
I took evidence during this for the podcast.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sure there's weak aspects, but on the whole, like the choreography is no... worse than the Guyver films, and I'm going to use that as my benchmark of this kind of thing.
So I've just in the chat, and for the listeners, you'll need to I don't know if Brian would be kind enough to put these onto the page or not, but these screamed out at me a mile off, and basically you notice there's these little pucks on the floor that every time the special effects went off, it was coming from these pucks.
Oh, of course. That's just. There's no CG. Well, there is a little CG with the use of like someone getting destroyed by a sword and stuff like that. And I guess the lasers themselves might not even be CG. They might have been drawn on afterwards. How would they go with that effect?
I was interested to know how they did the not the lasers, but the wires.
Well, I think some of them, I'd say that's some of the weaker bits because some of them pull what I would say in the wrong direction. So, like, they get blown out of a building and it will, like, pull them out strangely and then you can see them getting pulled back to the building.
Oh, no, I think one of the stunts, so there's a stunt in this. I think the stunt was a screw-up, but I think they just used it anyway. So there's one where they're coming out of the building and I think he hit the limit of the wire, so he fell backwards. And I think that they just thought it's close enough, we'll keep it in.
Well, that's probably restraints on cost, I would imagine. Honestly, I was so on board with all of the effects.
I think it was fun. It was budget, but fun.
I think they do it, like the suits and all that stuff. I think they look, you know, as you'd expect for that time, or maybe of the genre, I should say. Though I wish, like, one of the bad, I think it's a female character, she's riding a bike, like, it's like this alien looking bike, but it's still got a brake light on it.
Mad Garbo, you mean?
Mad Garbo, yeah. It's still got a brake light. It's an alien bike, or like a bionoid, or whatever it's called.
It's gotta be road legal, Anthony.
I guess, but who's gonna stop them?
I like the opening scene when Chase is going on and everything, and for some random reason, Van Knight's the main character, but he shows up in a Mazda RX-7. I was thinking, why is this policeman got a Mazda RX-7? You know, why would you give a policeman a rotary car? So just to show how reliable rotary engine cars are, yesterday I went to buy one that I only owned it for 30 seconds because of it blew the engine. So
G-Bank could fix it.
But what's amazing, I'm thinking, why is this there? And then you literally come across the credits and it sort of comes up with a screenshot that says, you know, sponsored by Mazda and Suzuki.
That's why.
Because you didn't give them much money to work with.
Parents are coming, so you got to sell the car. So in this movie, Dr. Jiba, the head of criminal syndicate Bioron, has got a plan to make the most dangerous monster he's ever made, his most dangerous bionoid. And so to do this, he's been committing a bunch of crimes over the past 10 weeks. He's kidnapped a thoroughbred horse, he's been stealing uranium and diamonds, and then his final crime is he kidnaps a bunch of, like, 6 children, I think, at a museum.
I have 3 very important questions about the bad guy.
Yes.
Why did they redub him?
I'm going to guess that his Japanese wasn't good enough, or his performing wasn't good enough. His physical form is played by Leo Meneghetti. But also it plays into the fact that that's not his real head, so.
I was going to say, if he was redubbed, what do you think he was actually saying?
Oh, I think he's just screaming. Because no words look tangible from that motion of lips. It's just,
nothing matched up whatsoever. And I also made a note that he had Geordie LaForge style glasses.
Yes.
Who?
Geordie LaForge from Star Trek Next Generation.
Oh, is that the one with the... right.
Yeah, the one with the glasses like Dr. Jeebus. So yes, his final thing is he needs some children to get their fresh cells off them to create a monster. He's also, apparently these weren't reported crimes, he's also got a couple of dogs, a monkey and 2 kittens who are in a cage where the bars are so wide one of the kittens is literally escaping from the cage as they're being shown.
I didn't notice on that.
There's the great bit later on when they're rescued. Once they rescue the children, Jiba has to go, I've got to go back for the animals. And he appears to be making multiple trips because he can only carry 2 of the animals at a time.
Is your mic going super weird or is it just me hearing that?
I think it's just you.
Okay.
I'm getting a weird audio from both of you two. Hold on.
It must be you. Have you got something running you shouldn't have running?
Dropbox, but
it's the Northern Main Line.
They've sent Mad Garbo to capture these children, and also what they're called. There's Marsha and Karsha. His 2 female
twins.
Spies.
Are they twins?
I don't know. Well, I guess. Maybe. I've not seen the episodes, so who knows? I don't think they're played by twins. They didn't look...
Because I think they look super similar. Twins.
But, also, one's gold and one's blue, so they don't look the same in their monster forms either. So they capture the children, they load them then onto a minibus and, and drive off with them, which then leads our heroine, Yoko Katagiri. I assume this is the first stunt you were questioning whether she had superpowers, Lewis.
Yes.
Where she makes a gigantic leap to grab hold of the back of the bus. And then she hangs onto it for a good deal of distance, apparently, before smashing in through the back window.
Yeah, I suppose. You couldn't really... It's just like, what? And also, it's like... She has some suction cups on her fingers or something, because of that. She jumps and holds onto the siren or something on this bus. And you'd think it would come flying off, but no.
And that, she's good at what she does.
But when she bursts through the windscreen, it was just like... The geometries don't add up.
No, they don't. No, there's lots of geometry which doesn't add up in this. Also, Naoto, Tamura, Jiba, they got there late, and so he sees Yoko... flying off on the back of this minibus or minivan, and he's about to go after her, but then he sees a bunch of mums fall down and he's got to attend to the mums.
What a guy. He's only 25 and he's got good manners.
He has. But there's other cops there. You might want to go after the monsters first. But yeah, the other thing to know is that nobody apart from Miyumi, who's not in this, knows that Nioto is Juban. Because the doctor who turned him into Juban died, so.
Oh.
It is a secret. Yeah, so then he pursues them. There's like six kids with Yoko. They get captured. They make an escape. But only one of the children manages to escape. The others get recaptured. She is a terrible actress, this child, which makes me wonder how bad the other children were acting.
Oh, I mean, I wasn't too judgmental. They're only kids, but they're not good. They were just plucked. I think they were plucked from anywhere to just take part.
So name you, the child who gets the lines. Yes, I assume her talent was that she could remember the lines, because she delivers them with... I thought she was going to turn out to be a bionoid herself with the completely dispassionate way she recited her lines. Yeah, so she then meets up with Juban after she's about to be discovered by like the generic hench goons who have got like black masks with a white smile and a single white dot on the
top.
And
I think there's only like, at least early on, there must be just four of them that they just reuse and reuse and reuse. And then at the end, they get all the extras in for loads of them.
Are they meant to... The white dots on the face... Are they meant to have the... Because they got the eye holes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And are we meant to believe that they don't have eyes or that they do have eyes?
I don't... They're called masks, so I'm guessing those are supposed to be masks.
Oh, I think they're just regular dudes. I don't think there's anything...
Well, no, I don't think they're regular dudes. I think he's grown them. Because they can't talk. They just make gibbering noises.
I guess like the putty... Was it the putties from Power Rangers?
Yeah.
Oh, takes me back. I like them, though. I mean, that would be a good cosplay group. Because nobody would know what you're from. Nobody.
It was... Yeah, I wasn't sure on those designs. I think the generic creature thing, the main bad guy designs were all pretty decent.
Yes.
Which one, the spider one, or the... the bat on its face, and...
The one with the bat on its face, where the bloody bat is a transformer, or something like that. It's like a combining thing. So there's a bat guy, and there's a flying bat, and the bat guy lands on the other guy's face and something, and they combine. That was weird.
Yeah. So basically, Juban has to go through this factory with this little girl holding his hand, and he's confronted by three. Bionoids, one after another. And I'm just trying to figure out what these bionoids, which ones they are. There's like the, what do you say, the bat one.
Bat one. There's a spider one that does an illusion.
Yes.
Which is very important to the story. Or the lore.
Is there an amethyst one?
No, I think it's supposed to be like a,
I know what you mean. Like in the sea. And then, anemone.
Yeah, but I'm not sure whether that was correct, because it seemed to be like a giant worm to begin with. Mm. Yeah, it's bat block. They got this. The wiki has it down as ammo block. And spider block.
Yeah.
Apparently they were unique to the movie. They weren't just reusing them. I was wondering if they were just reusing suits, so that was good. You were getting something original.
Yeah.
Wasn't like they brought them back. He has to fight them off one after another, but then after he's defeated Ammo Block and Bat Block's bodies, their detachable heads combine with Spider Block to make the Great Gibbonoid.
Which I think looks great. Honestly, I really like the look of this. It's really scary looking. In fact, the wormy fights in the acid pit or whatever it is looks really creepy looking. I think they get the skin texture of an amphibian creature down well. Maybe I'm giving it far too much credit. Maybe I'm giving it far too much.
No, I think you're right, because the particularly once it combines and you get the stop motion sequence of the...
Oh yes, that looks great as well.
It's clearly like we liked the thing, and also from like some of the hench beings of, it's clearly also, we also liked Critters. I'm sure there were some other things in there as well. Yes, yeah, so Jibba seems to be keeping a secret that he is not a human, but he is also a monster, with a, wearing a human's head as a mask. Cause he waits till everyone else is out of the room before he takes his head off so he can really let go with the cackling.
That was a pretty bad reveal.
I didn't see it coming.
No, I didn't see it coming either.
But, he stood behind the desk and then there's somebody with a suit on behind him that he was just wearing with, you can see the shape of the head and the chest piece of the suit. Oh, practical.
So the spy that does the illusion thing of making him think that, Mayumi, the, young girl, who knows his identity, who apparently had fallen off a waterfall previously, had returned. But it was all a trick. There's lots of points where it looks like, oh, he's down, and then his way of getting up, getting past this is just to stand up. It feels like a lot of wrestling selling. He's like beaten down, and then hulks up. Literally with like pumping his hands.
Well, I think
I can people blast him.
You kind of get the impression that as you're going through the film that he, as he's one by one fought these guys, he's beat them.
Yes.
And he's not at all. I just thought he was a bit crap because it's just like, why didn't you finish them?
Well, he does at the end.
Well, at the end.
Well, they're not going to finish them at the start.
He squanders every opportunity. Yeah, but the thing is, the way the film goes, they could have quite easily thrown in some new things, which they did. Mm. And like there was a few weird bits that didn't even make any sense to throw in. But when they've got the fight, I just didn't get the whole... There's three-on-one fight.
Which is great, by the way. They're going through buildings, they're going through the roof, they're going... I love that.
But there's no even build-up to it. It's just like, in a room, in another room, through the ceiling, through the floor.
I thought it was so fun. I was behind all of that action.
It was fun, but I just didn't get the need for it. I felt like they could have slowed that fight down and egged it out.
Well, oh, please they didn't.
They've only got 25 minutes to tell the story. They've got to get all the kids pumped right up for what's coming next. This is the warm-up show.
What's the name of the gizmo that he...
Daedalus Fire is his final attack.
That's the one.
But even that doesn't finish it. Well, it finishes it enough that Dr. Jeeba's like, well, we'll set the building to explode in 5 minutes. It explodes constantly for the timer of 5 minutes. And
why was the building shaking? Self-destruct doesn't make an earthquake happen.
Also, the self-destruct, it blows up, but if you're like 1 foot away from where it was blowing up, you're perfectly fine.
That's the fear factory for you.
I was also wondering, why didn't he use his better weapons earlier?
Who? Maybe it costs a lot to summon that thing. And...
But that wasn't his best weapon. It turned out the best weapon was the sword that he had with him the whole time.
But from what I understand, that's a part of the gun as well, isn't it? The gun transforms into the sword, which I think looks cool. I think that looks super good.
Well, you probably like most tokusatsu things because a hell of a lot of them have swords which turn into
guns. Oh, your mic's going funny again. Is this on my
guns
end?
Which turn into swords.
He's all right. I think it's your end.
I'm going to quickly put a bit of audio on. Keep talking. Or keep doing what you're doing.
Right here. I will keep on doing what I'm doing. They defeat the great Gibbonoid, but oh no, an energy thing comes off it and it attaches itself to Yu's back, and there's like, as they're getting out, they find this weird cocoon on her back, which has another spider block inside it, which leads to more holding a prop to your face and shaking backwards and forwards, acting. And there's a lot of that in this, and they're like, meanwhile, Chibbons, going back and forth with these animals to get them out. It's like, oh, the time's almost up, but then he leaps out through the wall. But now they've got to fight the spider block again. Which he easily takes it down with one blow this time.
Yeah. He seems to make it through a lot of injuries in this film as well.
Well, he is a robot.
Well, yeah. But every time it's like, warning, and like the red warnings go on, you think, oh, is that his limit? Is he going to have to put out something special? No, he's all right. Next scene.
Well, yeah. I believe he does eventually get killed later on in the series.
Oh, thank God for that.
And has to be rebuilt. Into an even more powerful version of himself. So they can sell another toy of him. And then in a Clark Kent style, he quickly disappears, turns into his human form, and then gets told off for turning up late. So yes, the everything's wrapped up neatly. He gets his Clark Kent ear howling from his will they won't they love interest. All the children who didn't get lines get to grin toothlessly. And also, like, I think you gets to deliver a speech about how her mum told her she's got to be strong.
Yeah, so that's no why. Need for that. We didn't care.
That's why she believed in Jeeban. That's why you kids at home should also listen to your mums and be strong.
Oh, I agree with that aspect. But...
And believe in yourself when you're seemingly about to be murdered by people and things that are much stronger.
Also, I assume that Bioron have got some sort of drone technology because they seem to be able to get some amazing shots of Jeeban driving in his police car for them to curse at. That's to say, I'll get you next time, Jeeban.
He's even got a Jeeban figure as well.
He does, yes. They've got a figure of the you as well.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing.
Because when I first saw that, I thought, oh, they're trying to do like some weird shot to show them watching and they didn't have money to just show it. And I was like, I thought it was meant to be them walking through the car. I don't know. I thought it was something weird. I realized, actually, no. He's just a collector. He's a fan.
I can imagine that this did well with kids. Like, I imagine they come out of it and they were telling the parents they wanted that cop badge. Because that badge made no sense. But I imagine it's a prop that can easily be sold. I imagine the badge, the gun, and a few other bits.
Yeah, I think it's from the advert I found on YouTube, it's the badge, the gun, and the vehicles. What I could find adverts for. I assume they probably did a Deladius fire toy as well, and I imagine action figures of...
Oh, yeah.
Of Jeeban himself.
There are probably single men in Japan with rooms full of Jeeban boys.
And then it tells you what time it airs Sunday mornings. So you can carry on the excitement if you were just coming to see Dragon Ball. You're now having been fired up watching this.
Oh, yes. Was Shohei Kusaka, was he a bit of a heartthrob in Japan at this time? Because he looks like a heartthrob. I feel like the women would go crazy.
He looks a bit like, I thought he was a bit goofy and... Brill creamed up.
Do you not think in that final shot with his trousers up above his belly button?
That's just isn't that just the fashions of
the that is the that aesthetic.
Yes.
The aesthetic. I thought he was a bit of a heartthrob. I could imagine the ladies going wild.
I'm sure probably that all the moms that watched the film did.
Yeah, it's no, having watched modern Toei Tokusatsu, he's... I don't think they're going quite as hard for let's attract the mums at this point as they are nowadays. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, it's just mums all the time.
But they didn't have to try hard. He looks like a handsome chap. He just does it for them.
You've not seen these beautiful men they've got as Kamen Riders and Super Sentai nowadays, Anthony.
Right.
He would not cut it in these days.
Really? Would he be a C-class hottie?
I'm not sure he'd cut it against some of the other people in the Metal Heroes.
Oh, damn.
In terms of hunkdom.
Damn, I don't want to watch any others now. I don't want to ruin this image of him.
But as I say, I think they were just trying to cram as much as the robot in as possible in this film, because that's what the kids are interested in. They're probably not interested in him at all.
Idiots. 30-year-old podcaster, on the other hand, he wants the handsome dude in the office look, apparently. Don't know why.
Next up, we've got Akko-chan's Secret, The Sea, The Monster, Summer Holiday. I put the original, but that seems to be removed from Wikipedia pages, so I guess it's in question now. But a very early example of a magical girl manga, predating Sally the Witch. From Osamatsu-kun and the genius Bakemon creator Fujio Akatsuka. It was originally adapted into anime in 1969. And a second series that this movie spins off from was created in 88 that ran for 61 episodes and had two short movies released for it. And then there was another one in the 90s. I've forgotten to write the exact date down. But I've got the first episode of that, so someone could pick it at some point for the anime that didn't make us.
Nice.
Unfortunately, it's not one of the Mamoru Hosoda episodes. This story follows the adventures of Akko, a girl who has a magical compact that allows her to shapeshift when she says a magic word into it.
What's the word she says again?
I can't remember. I didn't write it down.
Oh, Lewis?
Pass. This was a hard watch.
What? This was easy.
I was going to say, I thought it'd be fine in your Osamatsu household.
I didn't watch this, but I only gained interest in this towards the end.
The director is Hiroki Shibata, who worked on the 80s Gegege no Kitaro, and later the third series of this, and also Bobobobobobobo. I probably left not enough bows in there.
I think it was too many.
Screenplay is by Hiroyuki Hoshiyama, who wrote Vifam. He wrote for Osamatsu-kun, both the 60s and the 80s version, and Dirty Pair, and many, many, many other. I think he constantly shows up when we're doing the anime that didn't make us. And character design is by Yoshinori Kanemori, who also worked on the 80s Kitaro, Yawara, the fashionable judo girl from around the same time as this, and into the 2000s, Stitch, the Lilo and Stitch anime spin-off.
Didn't know that was a thing.
Did you not? There was two series.
No,
it's only got Stitch in. I think everyone else is entirely new characters, apart from Stitch, if I remember correctly. Everybody from the show goes to the beach. And the boys in the show decide that they hear about a legendary white dolphin that protects the sailors who live in the town. I think it's Akko's grandfather they've gone to visit. And they're like, well, even though we were warned not to go to the island where the dolphin lives and not to bother the dolphin, let's catch the dolphin and show it off at the festival tomorrow. We'll really impress everybody.
Let's try and kill the dolphin.
Yeah, animal cruelty. Just when it got exciting for you, Lewis, huh? When you see that dolphin in pain.
Well, I thought, like, they go, oh, we're just going to catch it. It's like, so you're going to drag it out of the water, okay?
they're overheard discussing this overnight by Chicago, a young girl who gossips, I think would be the best way to describe, and can't keep a secret. She's obsessed with finding secrets. I assume that ties in with, because I think if I remember correctly, Akko can't let anyone know that she can transform, otherwise she loses the power. So I imagine that's a constant peril within the show, is Chikako finding out that she's transformed.
Oh, I'm scared for her. That's a really harsh, like, weakness, because I would love that power.
I could be wrong. I could be remembering a story from a setup from a different Magical Girl show, to be honest. But, she overhears this. This gets relayed to Akko and her best friend Moko, and they're like, well, don't tell Akko's granddad, otherwise the boys will be in trouble. Akko decides that she's going to stop them and also eventually teach them a lesson as well.
Always tell your parents this kind of stuff, kids. Always tell on someone if they're going to hurt a dolphin. Get them in trouble.
And so the rest of the film plays out with Akko trying to save the dolphin from the boys, scare the boys, and Moko attempting to prevent Chikako from giving away the fact that the boys have gone to the island and Akko's gone after them. And so our boys are, from the comic, we've got Taisho, a fat lad and a bully who is secretly in love with Akko-chan, his two henchmen, Gioro and Goma,
henchmen.
Who are just, yeah.
It sounds funny.
who were basically cowardly and just character designs on legs. And then, not from the comic, but and only exists in the second anime, Kyo, who is apparently a prince from the Mirror Country, and he looks like, well, Dragon Ball's popular, so we should have somebody with huge silhouette-like hair in this show to attract the boys to watch it. And he's the instigator here. He's the one who wants to catch the dolphin. Yes, I don't know whether he's a jerk throughout the rest of the series.
Mm.
Other characters who show up, we've got Shoucho's baby brother who rides around on Dora, a big cat. I forgot to write in the notes because I hadn't realised the other cat was there until I went back, who is Akko-chan's cat.
I don't remember seeing any cats.
It's like they're right at the start. Because the big ginger cat, Dora, is in love with Akko-chan's cat. It's like a mirror of Taisho and Akko's relationship.
Right.
You've also got Kankichi, Mokko's little brother, and his friend Ganmo, whose family own whatever the food stall is that they set up at the end of in the festival when they got, oh, those kids are trying to make some money. but yeah, the crux of the film is Chikako, having to prevent Chikako from giving out the secrets. And then punishing the boys for their terrible boyish behaviour. Which involves Akko first turning into a seagull to get over to the island, then turning into a kappa to scare the boys, and attempt to free the dolphin by biting through the net that they've caught it in, and then turning into... Because it was mentioned in the story that the fisherman said, oh, the dolphin turns into a dragon, you know. So then Akko turns into a dragon to give him a proper scare, and then turns into a dolphin so she can talk to the dolphin and have a proper natter, and then invite her to the festival. If she hears a girl singing a song, then she knows it's safe to come to the festival.
It's very cute, all that. And that reveal that, because she isn't aware that these people kind of really worship her and thank her for what she does, and I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, because she likes them because they apparently the fishermen had chased away people
pirates.
Trying to hunt her in the past.
Yeah.
And it all ends in a festival.
Yeah.
Fitting for the summer festival of the films. So you could have been outside at a festival, kids, but instead you're in a cinema watching cartoons.
It felt very... It was very simple on an A to B movie, to be fair.
Yeah, I think it's just getting all your characters on the screen, having a summer-themed story. Now, we watched a VHS rip of it, which meant the picture quality wasn't that good, so I think I was, like, paying attention. I think some of it, if it was a better print, some of the animation would come across stronger, because there was actually some nice animation in there.
I think the dragon stuff was really nice.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that it was badly animated, personally, I just struggled to be that interested in it. So, but it's not my kind of film.
It has over the other two films, though, is that Toei have, because we watched the VHS, they haven't taken a razor blade to it and chopped the top of the bottom of the screen off.
Yep.
Because we've got to mention that. That is a problem in Jibun, and it'll be a problem in the Dragon Ball, is that, Toei have done a not great job in turning them into widescreen films when they weren't shot as widescreen in the first place. It was most obvious in Jibun in one shot when, like, one of the mask's heads was cutting half off the top of the screen. And it's far more noticeable in Dragon Ball Z Dead Zone.
Hmm.
But yeah, finding a full screen copy of that is tricky. So instead we went for the new digital versions that Toei have put up on Netflix and Amazon.
Which look pretty good.
Yeah, which look, apart from the poor widescreen shot, the actual picture quality is far better than previous versions of the film.
I want to mention Akko's Coca-Cola can dress that she has.
Yes, I noticed that, because I was like, oh, until he was close, I was like, that's not just like, it's not like cake or something, it's not like a pretend Coke, it's literally Coke.
I think it looks pretty good.
Yes, they were sponsoring this, same way as Mazda was sponsoring Juba.
I enjoyed this, you know. I know Lewis said he like didn't really feel it, but I was on board, and I think it's always stuff with animals and like a little bit of animal cruelty. They're not being cruel intently; it's just kids being kids. But they don't mean to be cruel, but it comes across as cruel as an adult watching it. And I think I always sympathise a lot with that kind of thing. So I was a bit on board for Akko fighting her.
It's supposed to come across cruel to kids as well.
I thought that this was kind of apt with Japan's whaling stuff at the moment.
What's going on there?
They've just started whaling again.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah. That was only an interesting thing. I thought they've had stuff out in the media that you want to leave these animals alone. I know dolphins aren't whales, but similar thing.
They were friends in the sea.
Yep.
I quite enjoyed it. So my encounter of this show before is the TV's ending theme, which has got some great movie parodies in it.
Oh, I turned it off. I always.
Well, it's not in this one.
What oh, sorry, from the show itself. Right, yeah. Right.
Akko has exactly the same character design as Totoko from Osomatsu. Just shot through an 80s prism here. Also, apparently, Chikako is the character from here, which crosses over into a bunch of other Akatsuka series. Apparently, appears as a girlfriend of Chibita in Osomatsu-kun. And as I was looking up, apparently, there's a Mamoru Hosoda episode in the third series that focuses on her, which he says shares themes with wolf children.
So does she turn into a wolf?
No,
or is it
less. I think it's more about the communication side of things.
Right.
From what I could briefly tell, I think it's episode 16 of the third series. Unfortunately, I think these and maybe the first episode of the TV show, I think, is all that's available in English. This movie and the previous movie, or the next movie, I can't remember which order these are in.
Have we mentioned this on the Famous Anime Podcast or not? Did it make the cut, or has it been featured somewhere?
Can't remember.
Because I thought we'd watched this before. Not this particular film, but I thought we'd watched some of this show before. But perhaps not.
Good question.
I don't think we have, if there's only been one episode.
No,
I don't know why it would have tied into anything else, but well, there we go. We haven't.
No, it's probably due to be talked about on the Famous Anime Podcast.
Yeah.
I don't think we've done a specifically Magical Girl episode yet.
Okay.
I think the other things have...
Yeah, we did a Magical Girl episode, but there was bigger
things, I think.
This wasn't
one of them,
yeah.
Or there wasn't anything available in English at the time. There's also a live-action version from the 2000s. I can't remember if the gimmick is that she's her as an adult, or it's
high school,
a girl, or she wishes herself into being an adult.
I don't really know the realms of restriction of her power, actually. So,
well, it appears to be pretty unlimited based
yeah,
on
true. A kappa and a dragon. Anything she can imagine.
Tekumaku Mayakon is, I think, the magical words according to the Wikipedia. Nice. Righty-ho, that was Akko-chan. Moving on to the final thing, it is Dragon Ball Z Dead Zone, a.k.a. Return My Gohan.
The main course.
The first movie for Akira Toriyama's Dragon Ball Z anime, following three Dragon Ball films in the three previous years. It features the first appearance of Garlic Jr., a rare anime original character who gets to appear in both the films and the TV series.
Uh-huh.
And here's what they said on the cached page on Funimation's website, because it was streaming on there, but apparently it's not there. Garlic Jr.'s on the hunt, and Gohan is on the hit list. Kidnapping the kid for his Dragon Ball, it seems the sadistic villain is on a quest to collect all seven. As Goku arrives, prepared to save his only son, Garlic Jr. summons the eternal dragon Shenron, prepared to wish for immortality. His ultimate goal, to take over the Earth in order to seek revenge for the death of his father. With heightened powers and blessed with eternal life, not even the combined efforts of Goku and his friends can defeat Garlic Jr. now. And as the fiend creates a dead zone intent on sending the heroes into the void, their rescue may lie in the hands least expected.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, that's pretty much the film, because it's a short Dragon Ball film, and so there's... I mean, it's got a little bit more plot than the Broly sequels, I'll give it that.
So, I enjoyed this, obviously, it's Dragon Ball. Although some of the films are bad. Dragon Ball films tend to go... The early ones are good, the late ones are good, everything in between's a bit of a potluck. This one's interesting, because this is like a prequel to the first episode.
That's what I was thinking, or it's a alternate version of the first episode. Aren't a lot of the movies like alternate versions? Like, this is a different version of the same themes, but with different characters just for the movie universe.
So it depends where you sit on the TV show and the manga and the movies, because the Garlic Jr. saga happens.
That's really
after the Freezer fight.
Yeah.
But obviously, it's this Garlic Jr. coming back, and it goes after Gohan.
Yeah.
So, technically, it's kind of a prequel. It's kind of not.
Yeah.
They play on it for filler in the TV show. So it depends where you sit on that whole crappy bit.
Yeah, this is the closest it gets, I think. Yeah. But obviously, it has the same thing of like, Piccolo is like, I still want to fight Goku, but I've got to fight this worst person first. Yeah, I quite enjoyed it as well. Particularly looking at the different video quality of like the earlier version. The earlier version is like, I don't know what they did for that remastering, but it made all the colours super bright. And almost like, psychedelic, whereas the new version on Netflix and Amazon is, yeah, the colours are probably much closer to what they were originally, and you've got the grain there, and generally looks lovely, apart from it sliced the top and the bottom off, which is really noticeable on the opening credits when you get the Zed Fighters image, and it's like, Yamcha's top of his head's disappeared.
I think because they sliced it, it gives you that false zoom as well, which... Yeah. Because I was noticing the outlines, I was noticing a lot of, they got better as they went on with Dragon Ball, but I noticed a lot of, I don't want to say quality issues, but you could notice, like, the animation.
Did you two watch this on a big screen or a TV?
No, I watched it on my 21-inch screen.
Mm.
But I could notice, like, the breaks in it, and I could also notice, like, the paint lines and stuff like that, which was interesting, because it's the earlier stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I want to see, though. I want to see that. I want to see the burn hole for which changed the reel.
I'm not disappointed by seeing it. It was just interesting. But I also thought that, like you said, if it's not the original format, does that... I don't know, do they crop 20% or do they crop 15%? You know, if you effectively put it in, you step back another couple of steps, you don't notice those things as much, but you everything's a bit closer, so you might pick out some of the things you wouldn't otherwise.
Is possibly, this the first time you've saw this, Lewis?
No, I've seen it ages ago. Okay. But I've recently been watching old stuff, new stuff, stuff in between.
No, I wasn't in relation to that, what you were saying. I just wanted to to know in general. I was just curious.
Well, because I especially because I own some cells. I own one cell from Dragon Ball, but I've got cells from other things.
Is it perfect cell or?
Nah. my Dragon Ball cells, Goku doing Spirit Bomb against Frieza.
Ah, yeah.
But it's interesting because when you can spot, like, oh, that looks just like the cells I own. It's kind of a nice thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
Obviously, this is the first time I've seen it.
Yeah, so. I was going to say.
I don't think I've seen it for 15 years, a long, long time.
15 years?
15 years, maybe.
Yeah, 15 years. That's thinking about, oh God, maybe I'm in the same boat. Because I'd saw this before, and I didn't like it. I didn't think it was that good, originally. And then, I think it was because I was so into Broly, because I watched, probably would have watched these around the same time. I was so into Broly that nothing could touch Broly. Whereas now, in reality, I think this is probably a better film. I think it does the stuff I like about Dragon Ball Z more. Like, seeing Goku fight with the staff is good.
It's interesting to watch Goku fight, basically.
As a weakling. As a less powerful character.
Yeah, because almost the first fight in Z, he's got nothing. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as you get into the Saiyan saga, he's got options. He's got options galore.
Yeah.
So this is good because it's like an optionless Goku, apart from his son.
Yeah. I think I prefer Broly because Broly's got this sort of goofy humour at the start that I prefer.
See, I like that this is condensed. Probably if this had been an hour and 20 minutes long, they would have had some of that humour. Though it does have some funny bits with Krillin.
The pacing in this is good, though. I did enjoy the... In the context of it showing with a bunch of other things, and it's like a special episode, really, rather than a movie.
Yeah.
It is a movie, it's sold as a movie, and it blah, 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 but it feels like a special episode.
Mm.
I like the pacing in this. I also like the... I kind of like the design of the bad guys. I think there's some of the better designed bad guys I've seen in Dragon Ball films.
Well, yeah, except, I mean, Garlic Jr. is just Pilaf and Piccolo merged together into a new character.
Oh, his design's terrible. His guys are better.
Yeah, his henchmen are good.
And this is like Goku didn't care about killing people.
Yeah, well, which is good, because it's a bit of a revenge story, isn't it? He goes after his son. He's just had his son stolen, so...
Excuse me.
But I don't know why they bothered to steal Gohan when all they wanted was the Dragon Ball. They could have got away scot-free.
What armor?
They just took his hat.
What? It was plot armor. I just find it interesting that Goku likes to kill people because of... Well, not likes, but he just does. And then
he's killed people before.
I know he has, but when you jump ahead to the Saiyan saga, it's like, let's not kill this guy that nearly killed us all and killed a bunch of other people with Vegeta. And then they go to Namek and he does the same thing with the Ginyu squad.
Yeah.
And then Vegeta goes and kills him. It's like, wait, at what point did Goku decide that he would stop killing people but become a really bad dad?
You're allowed to destroy the universe, but don't you dare steal his son, or you're going to die.
But this one, he was actually, he really cared at this point. Like he was.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the worse dad he becomes, the nicer he is to other people.
I feel like the more the series goes on, he's like almost like a caricature of himself. Like, he's got to be doing this. I want to fight everybody to be strong. Whereas, you're right, it says he feels more like a character in this film. He's got personality. And I love Goku. I'm a sucker for Goku, but I like the fact he's killing people. It's good.
I suspect that I think this might be the last time we see Chi-Chi fight as well. She does she trains Goten in when he's a kid. There's a whole thing where she was training him and he became Super Saiyan and she called him a delinquent. But because you forget that she's a martial artist and then she just becomes really annoying.
Mm.
Actually, she's always been really annoying. She basically forced Goku to get married.
I like Chi-Chi. I think she's a good mother. And a good wife. And a good daughter as well, because even Ox King, he's a good guy. It's just all right.
Yeah, first when he falls over, I thought...
Gohan punched him over. Did you think that? Yes. Because I thought it was this weird goof with, like, oh, I forgot how strong you were, grandson, kind of thing. And it's not. Why didn't they kill him? Because they kill Piccolo at the start, or so they think. Why wouldn't they kill... I know it's plot, but They should have killed them too.
Yeah, but they don't have a grudge against, they don't have a personal grudge against,
true, that is a good reason behind it. Yeah, you're right.
There's a specific reason why they wanted to kill Piccolo.
Yeah.
Which was to kill Cammy.
Yeah.
Because it turns out that Garlic's dad could have been the Cammy.
Garlic Senior.
And that's why he's doing this. It's why he wants revenge.
They do, it's a lot more painful in the Garlic Junior Saga. Have you seen the Garlic Junior Saga?
I have. It's one of my least favourite sagas. It's short.
It's, is it? I just remember, it felt like four episodes of, you know, where Cammy goes into the other realm and all the old gods punish him. It felt like that went on for an hour.
I'm sure it's super short. Like, 16 episodes is off the top of my head, but it's probably like 40. I'm going to quickly check this.
I bet it's 10 to 15 episodes.
I don't know how to even...
It is 10 episodes.
Oh, see? It's short. Short and sweet, but it's not very good.
I said 10 to 15.
Yeah.
I know, but I'm saying it's
episode 108 to 170.
That's 200 minutes of the same thing.
Admittedly, though, that's the... you do see... I'm just thinking because I always preferred this version of Gohan from that era. Like all the Cell stuff, then when he grows up a little bit, I don't like him when he's a teen.
Oh, it's literally the best version of him.
Nah, it's really not. I like him best as a kid. I think he becomes so boring when he goes to school.
Yeah, oh, that's... no, the 17-year-old one, yeah, he's not that.
Yeah, I'm talking like Cell Saga, he's great and all that. And I like him in the scene, so I like the, like when Piccolo's training him and all that stuff. But yeah, as soon as he's dating and being the great Saiyan man. Not for me, sorry. I know Brian loves the great Saiyan man.
I do, yeah.
But that's our different takeaways from Dragon Ball, isn't it? Because you like that aspect of it way more than I do, and I like the fighting. Always.
I like the fighting as well, don't get me wrong. But
I tolerate the humour to get to the fighting. Whereas I think you're happy with both.
Yes.
Because I tolerate it.
If you want to fight, just watch Dragon Ball Heroes. There's no... Dragon Ball Heroes is the series that you can watch on...
Is that a web thing? Like a web?
Yeah, but it's just like nuts. There's like there's little plot to it. It's just kind of... It's like a wrestling tag team tournament.
The thing I like about the early Dragon Ball Z... fighting aspect is that it always feels like there's high stakes, and even though I know people can get wished back with the Dragon Balls, all that kind of stuff, when I was a kid watching it, that's always in the back of your mind. You don't think that this person can get wished back. You don't think about that. You think shit, they died. So I don't know, I always felt it was higher stakes back then.
You should watch Super.
I know,
finish,
I was
going finish to, it I, because of the last tournament. The last tournament is literally about that.
Is it high? Is the high stakes?
Yeah, they get wiped out of existence. They're literally they're fighting to not be wiped out of existence.
Well, that's where. Well, okay.
But also, you just came into Dragon Ball Z without seeing Dragon.
Yeah. So you've
got a weird take on not being able to wish people back to life. Because that's firmly established in Dragon Ball that's entirely possible.
And I do, like, from what I've seen of Dragon Ball, which is very little, but I've seen a lot of, like, the fights and stuff, I think the fight choreography in that is strong. I always like that. It's back to base. It's basically a martial arts film at that point. There's none of these crazy powers and all that stuff. So I guess I'm more on board for when it's doing that. But I can get behind a good spirit.
They're still blasting people at Kamehameha.
Is there even in Dragon Ball?
Episode three.
Is that when he first learns it, or is that when he's in training? I don't know. I'm not going to try and guess.
You should watch the first couple of episodes and just see what you think.
Oh, I would probably really like it. And like, I'm not against, kind of, there's more humour and stuff. I'm not against the humour, but I'm not...
I've not finished all of it yet. I've got quite far into it. I go through spits and spats of watching 10, 20 episodes at a time. So I think I'm into the 80s, maybe.
I want to see as well, I watched this in Japanese.
Yeah, I started it in Japanese, but I'll switch it to English. The English startup music's on there. I just switched it straight back to Japanese.
Well, when I switched it to English, it didn't even have, it just has a guitar solo.
Yeah, that's the,
no,
that's
no
the
lyrics.
English. Yep.
But it wasn't even Rock the Dragon. If it had been Rock the Dragon, I might have let that one ride out.
Rock
but...
the Dragon's Ocean Dove.
Oh, right. So, that's a fantastic intro.
Yeah, I think Rock the Dragon's Ocean and... Did Funimation take over the dub? Whoever took it over,
it
yeah,
did,
they went
yes.
They went back and recorded over, so all of the Ocean Dub stuff got pushed out.
Oh, disgusting. Another thing I want to mention as well, because I've got a funny ear for this kind of thing. The scene where Garlic Jr. is transformed into Big Garlic, Clove, or whatever, I don't know, where he's getting big, that's the exact same music as the Goku Super Saiyan transformation music from the Namek Saga. It's the exact same music. And I was like, ooh, this sounds familiar. And I was like, that's why. Okay. Good ear for you.
I have. Unfortunately, I did not appear to have been recorded.
Oh, no. For the entire time?
Let me just check. No, ever since we came back.
Oh, yes.
That's all right. I've got the MP3 Skype recorder.
Oh, thank God. Sometimes you just can't redo. But yeah, go and listen to the Japanese, or watch the Japanese scene with the Goku transformation, and it's the exact same.
The Goku or the garlic?
Go and watch, well, you've just watched the garlic one, go and watch the Goku one, and you'll see that it's the exact same music from the Garlic Jr. transformation in this. Which is a fantastic piece of music. You know the one I mean.
What, the Super Saiyan transformation?
Yeah.
I think they might use that in various points.
I mean, it would make sense that they did, but I don't remember it before the Super Saiyan transformation, and I don't think I've heard it since.
It would be interesting to him side by side, though, because I reckon that's like episode 95, so there'd have been...
Yeah, what episode was this? When did this come out in terms of where the series was airing?
I don't know, because of this is, like, in terms of the chronology, it's meant to be before, but in terms of when they released it.
Yeah.
Let's have a look.
Dragon Ball Z only started in 89, didn't it, on TV? So, yeah, Dragon Ball's only been airing since April.
Dragon Ball Z has only been airing.
Yeah, Dragon Ball Z's only been out since.
What year was this film again?
89.
So, not long. It's not.
This is July.
There's no Super Saiyan. 89. There's no Namek. They're still in. Saiyan Saga, probably. Well, definitely. Goku's probably on what's it called? He's between heaven and... What's that? The big... Snake Way. He's probably running along Snake Way for 8 episodes at this point.
Oh, it's... hang on. Yeah, it's episode 96.
We know this stuff.
I'm on Wiki. And that's June 91.
June 91. God, 2 years... So they could see one of the best moments.
I think the dub's got it in. They cut a lot of stuff out for the dub. The dub's got, it's got a list of, it's episode 96 in the original and 81 in the dub. So they dropped 16 episodes worth of stuff. Or 15.
Interesting. Yeah, I like this film way more this time around than I did when I remember watching it years ago. But then again, I would have watched it years ago on a little real player file on the computer. I'm not kidding. That's how I watched the Broly movie originally.
This would have been 18.8 meg.
I know. I'm just always amazed like how far into the 21st century you're still watching real player movies.
Hey, this was back at, like, I don't even think I torrented anything. When I first watched this.
No, because I forget you're so much younger than me. That's
why. Because I hadn't even torrented anything at this point. And I'd come across the movies and I'd watch this, Broly 1 and all that stuff. In fact, I think the Broly 1 was around 60 megabytes, if I remember rightly. So I'd imagine it's a similar...
60 whole meg?
Ooh. Yeah.
What did I used to do? So when I was in secondary school or college and I'd part-time job and I had a phone line and an internet connection, 56k. I think I could do 400 meg a day.
That's
so
a lot.
I used to get two episodes. Yeah, but that was like a 220 meg for an episode of anime. So I used to get two episodes a day. So that, I used to do CD trades.
Pre-torrenting, I used to use a download manager's piece of software. So it meant if... So I could pause a download.
They were so full of crap as well, weren't they?
Oh, absolutely. But you could pause a download, then the next day, you know, because you can't leave your computer on overnight, you're just a kid. You could then turn on the computer, resume the download. Hopefully there was no packets that had been corrupted, and it would finish.
Oh, no, no,
and then
mine was
torrents came. Oh, my gosh. When torrent, like, I'm not condoning torrents right now, but in terms of downloading large files over a long period of time, I used to spend like a week downloading an episode of Naruto at a time, seriously.
Do you know the worst thing is when you used to download something and you download something and it was corrupted, or it's like, I've got it. Hola, puff of ore.
Oh,
shit.
Yeah.
you get a Spanish one or a Japanese one, but with Italian subtitles.
Yeah.
Like, what a waste of a week. Time.
Oh, God. I used to watch Raws the odd time as well. And it was like a big fight in Naruto. I would watch the Raw. That's how bad I was.
I think they've always been pretty, quick. I still read a few manga that are fan translated because there's no legitimate option for them. And it's funny. You get the, I actually don't get why some of the websites that people know put manga up there that's available for free. So, like, Dragon Ball Super manga is available for free for the last three chapters. So, as long as you stay up to date, you actually don't really need to buy it if you don't want to.
It's because it's not available free all over the world. That's why.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's the argument that people who complain about why do these things exist is quite often the American who forgets that the rest of the world exists. And the piracy isn't necessarily happening from within their own country. It's happening elsewhere.
Yeah. That's kind of a shame. Geo-blocking doesn't make sense at times.
Well, I'm going to guess it... Well, I don't know. I was going to guess, and I'd probably be wrong, I guess.
Well,
there is a
Japanese business ethic of we don't want them to have it, so we won't.
Yes.
So, how did we get onto this tangent? Where were we?
Anthony was telling us about how this seemed better now.
Yeah, this is definitely better now that I've seen it.
Non-real media format.
Yeah, which is probably, 320 by whatever the other way.
It might have been in the right ratio.
It probably was. Probably was.
Nostalgia is a powerful drug.
Put it this way, the quality was so... If you watched it full screen, you wouldn't have been able to read the subs.
See, it'd be interesting to watch this on a square CRT TV on VHS. And you got to play.
Why?
And you got to play with the tracking. To get that 90s experience. But it might feel better. It's like if you know, like how Star Wars is on Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
It suffers for it. Like the original Star Wars films where you can see the Vaseline on the lens and everything.
Dad, rather
that. There is the argument.
You'd rather see the Vaseline.
I'd rather that than covering it up with... I'd rather see makeup and stuff than something be covered up with CG.
No, but that's not the point. It's not the point of having it... Yeah, the slice of life in which people watch this was on CRT TVs and VHS and stuff.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
And we're watching it now in HD, and like I'm probably picking out the issues with the animation or the little lines and everything that you see. But we're not seeing it in the same way. But in the same... Still in the same sense, nostalgia is a hell of a drug.
Yeah, but I mean, the argument for the VHS is that, for things pre-digital, is that the pre-digital things were filmed in an analog way, and so if you convert them to digital, you don't have the same infinite amount of colours you have with an analog format. You're still, even if you've got however many billion colours you've got available to you, you still might not have the exact colour.
It's usually blacks, isn't it, that suffer? Artifacting and...
Whereas, obviously, if it was made digitally, if it was made in a digital era, then, yeah, it's fine to watch in digital. It's better to watch in digital, in fact. Because you are getting the exact colours. You were probably getting... If it was a digital thing broadcast over analog transmission, then the digital version is the better version. You never got to see the best version when you're watching it on TV.
Lewis, just get that yourself on eBay. Get yourself a CRT TV. They're pretty expensive. I'm not going
to
lie.
I'm doing the opposite at the moment. I'm trying to scale down all my stuff.
And CRTs are big. It's not a case of you can hide it against a wall.
They're heavy as well.
Oh, they're super heavy. You'll need a hand, but...
You can hide it if you redneck it.
Redneck it? What's that mean?
Have you never seen a redneck flat screen TV?
Oh, do you cut out the wall or something?
Yeah.
All right. But yeah, you can pick one up. There's one here, £150 for a 14-inch CRT TV.
What are you on about? People give them away for free.
Well, I know, but this is a one that's apparently famed for retro gaming. Because obviously people want that, you know. People want that retro game, CRTV, scanline, you know, no input lag. That's why at some Street Fighter tournaments, if they're playing an old game, like a Dreamcast game or something, they'll always do it on a CRT.
But you could literally go to eBay and buy a Sony Bravia TV from the 90s Flight of Fiber.
Well, honestly, if you search CRT TV, they're all like 50, 60, 70 pound.
On eBay?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not joking. So they're in.
How have we got to a point where that... Oh, Jesus Christ, how have we got here? Is this... Hang on. They're all sponsored. Yeah. No, these are all people. Jeez, there's no way that people are paying this.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people.
Click on the sold listings. Yeah, £10, £17.89,
£28.45. Yeah.
How do you see sold?
You clicked advanced. Sold listings in the show only.
I'll just control F sold. Oh. Either way. That's the future that we're going to come around to.
I would have laughed if we'd have said nothing and you'd have come away from this. I bought one.
I wouldn't buy one, honestly. There's doesn't appeal to me. I've probably got one in the attic somewhere, honestly.
I can't believe people are flipping piece of crap TVs for retro nostalgia. I tell you what, everyone's got a hustle and it's genius, but...
Oh, Sony Trinitron 1 went for £155.
See? That's the one
The one I linked you was a fiver.
Is that Sony Trinitron or whatever it was?
Open the message.
Oh, it is. That's the black model. We want the silver model. The black takes away from the colouring. It distracts the audience.
Can you see why it's a fiver as well?
Does it say broke?
Nope. Because it's in
St. Albans. There's a 25-inch one, which is 155.
Oh.
Also, it's in St. Albans.
Where's that?
Actually, that's not the worst location. For some reason, I had it in my head that St. Albans was going to be up in Scotland. I start thinking St. Andrews and stuff like that.
Either way, you couldn't afford the Garrett Posted. I have to take a loan out.
God, would you trust Yodel?
I wouldn't trust anyone to lift this thing.
We left it behind the back gate.
Goku couldn't lift this TV.
They were heavy. Old TVs were heavy.
They were a dead weight as well to carry. One hand on the front, one hand on the back.
Do you remember one of the best points in sort of as a fan sub fans history was when you could go from watching, because back when I used to watch fan sub stuff, it was expensive to have a 17-inch computer monitor, and when video cards started output into TVs, it was brilliant. Because you could start to watch your anime. If you had a computer in the same room as a TV and you could deal with the wiring messing around, you could start watching your anime on a big screen.
Or you just burn them as VCDs and play them in your VCD compatible DVDs.
I used to do that, watching on a Dreamcast. But it didn't...
Oh yeah, I forgot all about watching it on Dreamcast, yeah. That was probably actually how I did it as well.
But then it got a bit complicated when... Because it was an MPEG-4. It was
MKV, there was XVID was a point where then you would have DIVX player.
Was it XVID 311?
Oh, I don't know.
There was a standard, and I was watching stuff on my Dreamcast, and then they changed the standard, and all the fan subs were coming out in different standards, and I couldn't encode it for my Dreamcast anymore. It was gutted.
That's still a problem with smart TVs, isn't it?
Yeah.
Got a smart TV, I can watch video files in it, and then...
Only if it's MP4.
There's a new H265 something else. And all of a sudden, yeah, oh, no, not playing this.
This is why I don't have a smart TV.
Anyway, well, how are you guys doing it? You should be buying the physical media or streaming it legally. You shouldn't have a file.
Generally, I do.
You guys are terrible.
How did you watch today's?
I've got this on VHS, then? You sly dog. I've got a Sony Trinitron 15-incher with a built-in VHS player. Do you want to ask how I was able to switch between the dubs, though?
Well, you best hurry up and get it on eBay because it's worth $150.
I know. Well, I just bought it for $140, so I don't want to
get a ton of profit. Yeah.
Next time we go down the tip and I'll go past the... I'll be picking up instead of dropping off. Grab all the TVs out of the TV area.
Oh. Good stuff.
Right, that's enough diversions from Dragon Ball. Dead Zone. It's alright. Surprised me. I especially like the flashbacks. They were my favourite bit in the movie.
They look great, don't they?
There's a lot of, H.R. Giga influence, I think, in the designs of, Garlic's base, in that there's some very veiny columns. They look more lurid in the previous remaster than the new remaster with the colour correction makes them look less like penises than they did in the previous version. But they still look like penises nonetheless. I think like one of the henchmen looks a bit alien-y as well when he gets he goes into his power-up mode.
What about when Gohan gets high?
Oh, yes.
That's a very interesting scene.
There's always a thing.
Yeah, because their plan is that he's so powerful, they're going to, like, enlist him as... He's going to be the fourth member of Garlic's henchmen team. I like where they're trying to entertain him as a child, though, as well. They've brought all those animals in and cute furry things, and he gets, like, a little image song in the movie.
Oh, see, I thought that was what he was seeing. Is that not just because he's high?
I don't know. I'm sure that's a vision, you know. Well, it could be right. I could be misreading.
When he's running around.
Yeah, because he goes back to... Just before he dozes off, he sees all these little critters and they're singing and dancing. That is definitely in his head. I don't think it would go to the extent of...
I think it's a mix. Maybe.
Because you don't see them again. Presumably they all die in the... when shit hits.
Oh yeah, no, you're right. Yes, it is him just hallucinating. I've gone back and I was clearly not paying this film enough.
No,
attention. I'm the Anthony in this sequence.
It does run through. There's a weird trend with 80s films. Was this an 80s film?
89.
It was. It's 89.
It's 80s, maybe early 90s thing of.
Get kids high.
Get kids peeing. Like, let's have little boys weeing on people. I can't remember what other anime films there are, and it would make a very interesting panel of Brian's at a future convention, which we'll get kicked out of. I'm fairly sure you could start to make a list of it. It would be a one really long list.
The Golden Shower Hour. The problem with that scene where he pees, it doesn't just splash on Krillin's head. There's in the Japanese, at least, it makes a gargling sound, so it definitely goes in his mouth.
Yes.
I don't like it. Oh. Yeah. Fancy us late stopping talking about Dragon Ball and then we come back in with that scene. Good stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's one of the key scenes at the end. He's opened up a black hole to drag everyone in and Gohan just gets mad and becomes super powerful.
Yeah, and this is... Because they're all the first hint to his power as such.
Yes. That was silly for Garlic Jr. Like, he's got immortality. Don't summon the thing that can trap people in for eternity.
But the whole thing in the whole, like, even Cammy's nods to it without saying anything earlier on, that immortality is a stupid wish. Because of.
Is it though?
I think Cammy might have had plans to seal him away somewhere anyway.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, because we know from Dragon Ball is that people can be sealed away quite easily.
True.
I mean, even a 300-year-old pervert can seal people away. So.
Yep. So it was, yeah, he was always going to get stuck in there. I think that's what the hint was.
Yeah, he was, yeah, or a pot of some kind.
The imagery was cool where you see like all the skeletons like going across the land and they've all got spears and stuff.
Yeah, they didn't really go anywhere with that, which was a bit interesting.
No. Because he could have I thought he was going to like summon these skeletons to fight Goku or something and then just like, you know, one hit through.
Yeah, I thought they were going to play more like, because obviously his theme is supposed to be vampire.
Yeah.
So he hints that he's going to have this undead army. But no, he's just got his three knockoff versions of Piccolo's sons from Dragon Ball.
And one of them's got like a Vincent Price haircut. Do you think that's intentional?
Yeah, well, yes, probably essentially. He's also voiced the guy who'll voice Garlic when he shows up again.
Really?
Because it's not him doing the voice here. It's Kira Kamiya, voice of Kenshiro.
Wow.
I guess they couldn't afford him for the TV show. So they just got the guy who played Pilaf to voice the Pilaf clone. But yeah, he was playing, I think Nikki is the one with the
I thought he was called Ginger.
I think Ginger's the little bald one.
Oh, right.
I thought they did switch that around in the sub at some point. I think the sub wasn't, there was a point where I thought the person that was Ginger was someone else and then it came back to be someone else.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm going by what the Dragon Ball wiki tells me.
Maybe a duff article. Someone might set it up for goofs. Kind of catch us out.
I
hear they're doing Dead Zone this weekend. Let's get them.
A constantly updated resource. So what are their names? It's Ginger, Sancho, and Nikki.
What's Sancho? Is that a... What is it?
Let's look him up and find out what his...
So what was it? Nikki and... Oh, Nikki's going to bring up so much stuff that's not what I want. never mind.
A lot of Nikki's out there. I could just click on his page.
And we'll find out what food, because presumably it's another food.
Nikki. Right, Nikki name. Transformations. Super Nikki. He's a iron.
What's one of them? Is that a nut?
His character model reappears in the game under the name Herb. He is named after a spice.
See, Lewis has been to Japan. He should know this.
It's Nikki, meaning cinnamon.
Ah, cool.
The name Nikki was reused during Imperfect Cell Saga, when Cell regains his lost energy by absorbing the inhabitants of Nikki Town. There you go. He's a Makaian. Let's have a look at what they are. They are the people from Makaio, referred to serpent race in the English dub. They're natives of the Makio Star.
Oh, the Makio Star comes back later on in the Garlic Jr. saga.
So that's where Garlic and his buddies
are. Ah, right.
Maybe that's expanded in the saga and it's not a thing here. Because much in the same way, they don't really know what Piccolo and Kamiya are at this point.
True, because Garlic Jr. looks a little like a Namek.
Yes, but he doesn't have the antennae.
Oh, good spot. Yeah.
But they're all talking about Earth this, Earth that in this video.
Yeah, true.
Like they've always been on Earth. Earth is their home situation.
Yeah, I totally forgot about the Makio Star and I would have never have remembered because it's my least favourite saga. Oh well.
Yeah, well, maybe it had a similar response, and that's why they didn't bring anybody else back from the movies. Until Broly, and even then, it's a different Broly.
Uh-huh.
The new improved Broly. Anything else to add on this? I want to mention that, like, the original name of this film was just Dragon Ball Z. He didn't have a subtitle.
I don't like the Gohan bit of the subtitle. Dead Zone is fine.
Right, Return by Gohan.
Good to call it Dead Zone.
He says it in the movie.
I mean, they say loads of stuff, but actually, that's a funny scene because they're all cheering for Garlic Jr. and then like Goku comes and shouts that. And then the henchmen join in shouting that, like, oh, wait, what?
Yes, they do. Yes, because they just get carried away because they've been chanting something else previously. And it's like, oh, someone else has started a chant.
It was quite interesting. Goku just, like, bypasses Kami as well when he first shows up. Just, like, they acknowledge each other and he's just like, yeah, fuck this, I'm off. I'm going to go get my son.
I guess the cheer... Well, yeah, putting it in its context of, I guess you're just hyped for Dragon Ball Z at this point. But I guess you've had like however many years of this story being in the comics already, so you kind of know the adult characters. It's probably only for the kids who don't, the younger kids who don't read the comic. And I guess with the other films that would make sense. It's probably aimed at the low age range of Dragon Ball fans, the older ones would be reading.
Was this
the story in Shonen Jump?
Was this what? Do we know what order the films were shown in?
My best guess is this order, but Akuma Kun, I think, was between Akko-chan and Dragon Ball.
And which was Jiban? Was that first?
As best as I can tell, based on the wiki page for. But again, I don't know whether they showed them in different... I don't know whether each cinema was just given their own onus in which order to show them or not. I couldn't find anything definitive, so I just went by what the wiki order was.
So I would have liked to... if I'd have seen this, I think I'd have stayed awake for Jib, and the other two I'd have probably zoned out for and then been kicked awake by a Dragon Ball.
You're probably right. If I was in the cinema having to go through them all, which is a good bunch, but... It's better watching it how we did. Well, I watched it over like three different sittings.
I also have a weird way. I watched the first two back to back, then I did some stuff, and I watched the other one with lunch. Although I'd watched Garlic, I've seen Garlic Jr. before, so it's not too bad. See, I've got this thing in my head from what a coworker told me. So there's in the cinemas over here, there's a kids club, which is a pound. And I know various parents that take their kids to kids clubs to have a nap.
Really?
Oh yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure the parents do that as well.
So I always think about these films being for parents as being an opportunity for them to sit the kids down with some popcorn and get a couple of hours in that kit. I always think if the parents don't sleep for it, if the parents do sleep for it, and the kid says, "Daddy, did you like this bit? Mummy, did you like this bit?" And they're just going, "Yeah, no." It's like lying through their teeth. But yeah, I literally know someone uses every trick in the book to have son and father time, but everything he's doing is like not parenting whatsoever. So one of the things is cinema. The other thing, he dumps it at the IKEA crash, and then, you know, everyone that does free childcare, he's there. He shall go unnamed. He's outside of our core friend group, so.
There you go. Well, yeah.
There you go.
Well, I just imagine Japanese
nowadays Dragon Ball. Nowadays, Dragon Ball films, though, are clearly aimed at the
parents. Oh, yes.
So rather than the children.
And they're up to 2 hours. Wait, how long was... Was it 2 hours? No, it was 90 minutes.
I was going to say it must be 90 minutes. I don't think they could have made that fight go on for 2 hours.
Oh, I don't know.
maybe.
I wish someone would give us some dates on One Piece Stampede.
Is that the film or the movie?
Because I'd like to go. That's the new movie. No, it's the new movie which was out this year.
What's the game called? I've got that sitting downstairs and I've not touched it.
Is it the one I've got? World something or other, World Seeker?
Maybe. I should
fire out
at some point.
It is not good. I mean, it's okay, but it's not good.
It's the open world one, is it?
It's the open world one, yes. If you've played any other modern games, it will frustrate you because it tries to do things like a lot of the popular modern games. So if you've played Spider-Man, it will frustrate you because it has some movement like Spider-Man eventually when you unlock it, and it's far more frustrating version of that, of Spider-Man's thing. It also has like Spider-Man's spider sense, where it's not, actually, it's not, that's one of the things we worked a bit better with. That one kind of works okay with World Seeker, with Luffy's, what sort of hacky is it? It's the one which allows you to, notice things and spot things. That kind of works okay. Some of the free world movement is deliberately frustratingly, trying to funnel you at points early in the game. And so the free movement is not as free as it's trying to make out. Yes, I've not rushed to complete it. But it was really cheap, so don't feel too bad. That's assuming that's the One Piece game you've got. There are the One Piece games, but I think that was the last one. Pirate Warriors 4 is the next one, I believe.
Cool. Is the plan for the next one of these One Piece, or...?
The next one... okay, right, here we go. Let me go to my document here.
let's tell people what's coming up.
Well, I've got a number of choices, because there's a lot... We've watched a lot of the big stuff from around the bubble economy era of when there was, like, far too much money sloshing around Japan, and so this was the era when anime was giving Western fans who encountered it later an unreasonable expectation of what anime looked at. So we've already covered Akira, Gunbuster, Venus Wars, Midnight Aigoku, The Giver, Cyber City, Devilman, Fist of the North Star, Project Aiko, Wicked City, Black Magic, M66. So I've got a huge load of list of things, but specifically the Manga Matsuris. The 86 one, the only thing available from that one is Dragon Ball Curse of the Blood Rubies. 87, I believe everything is available, which is Dragon Ball, Sleeping Princess in Devil's Castle, Saint Seiya the Movie, Evil Goddess Eris, the Hikari Sentai Maskman movie, and the Shoujinki Matilda movie. So that'd be two tokusatsus and two Shonen Jump animes.
That sounds brilliantly awful.
88 has got Dragon Ball, Mystical Adventure, Fight Ramen Man. not available is Bakuriman 2, The Secret of Muin Zone. And possibly available, it's definitely been fan-subbed, but I'm struggling to get my hands on it, is Kamen Rider Black. Terrifying, The Phantom House of Devil Pass.
That's scary.
89, clearly there was so much money sloshing around Japan at this point, they had two of them. So this was the second one we just talked about. Earlier in the year, you had Saint Seiya Movie 4, Warriors of the Final Holy Battle, the Osomatsu-kun movie, which is not available, the first Akko-chan movie, and the Kosoku Sentai Turbo Ranger movie.
Ooh.
1990, you'd got Dragon Ball Z World's Strongest, Magical Witch Sally the movie, and the second Akuma-kun movie, which is not available in English. 1990, though, you got a separate, just only Toriyama anime movie program, which was Dragon Ball Z, The Tree of Might, Pink, Water Thieves, Rain Thieves, and Kenosuke-sama. Those are all available for us to watch at some point. And then I haven't figured out what the 1991 one was. Oh, yes, I have. Yes, sorry. Yeah, 91 was Dragon Ball Z Lord Slug, which was paired with the magical Taruto-kun movie that isn't available. And also Dragon Ball Z Cooler's Revenge, which was paired with both the second magical Taruto-kun movie, not available, and the Dragon Quest movie, not available.
Never seen Lord Slug.
There was a Dragon Quest film? Is that as in the Toriyama?
Yeah.
Ooh, I didn't know they had that.
I think it was the Toriyama design one. Dragon Quest 1991 movie.
Oh, Jesus. He's just got a Dragon Quest V, and that looks terrible.
So, I'm trying to think which one this would be. Actually, I'm not sure which one it's based off, whether it's, I probably would know, because the other one may come after this one. My Dragon Quest knowledge is quite poor. Dragon Quest Die, I think, is after 91, isn't it, for the anime? This would be the Die one, I think. Yeah, this would be the first of the, Dragon Quest Adventures of Die.
I've just found an image from one of the intros for Dragon Quest. That's from Dragon Quest 1001? No, Dragon Quest 11. That's from Dragon Quest The Game 11.
Yeah.
That looks like Son Gohan. So there's regurgitating his stories.
I think Toriyama
just style,
kind of,
yeah.
I mean, we just talked about a villain who looks like Pilaf cross with Piccolo.
Like that baby's all about Goku.
Yeah. And then there's plenty of other things which aren't Toei manga about series we could talk about. But yes, we have talked because we were hoping to get Marv on this, so try and drag him on for one of these Dragon Ball ones, or we'll trick him and get him to do the Saint Seiya one. There's no Dragon Ball.
Ooh, what a cruel trick.
But there's also loads of other stuff which from between 86 and 91 that we could look at that we've not had a chance to talk about yet.
I'm game for any of the Dragon Ball ones. Either, I don't know, whichever way you want to do it, going forwards with Z or backwards and forwards with Dragon Ball.
Yeah, I'll see which ones look the best. I'll take a look at these the other things, and if there's anything like barely in English or looks absolutely terrible, we'll skip those and go to ones which...
How about if anything's on YouTube, we can try and make sense of it with the YouTube auto-generated subtitles?
Nah. I think I'd rather
watch
that
it raw.
A hard pass.
You're guaranteed at least 30% of the words will be correct.
These are the double bills which weren't part of the manga about Siri I'm looking here. So yeah, 88 also had the Saint Seiya movie teamed with the Saki Kagake Otoku Juku movie. But other things around 89 you could have watched Five Star Stories, Neo Tokyo, which we've talked about loads of times about doing, City Hunter, .357 Magnum, Wrath of the Ninja, Kiki's Delivery Service.
I thought that was one title for a second, Wrath of the Ninja.
No.
Weird spin-off.
Little Nemo, Galaga, and the Doraemon movie number 10, Nobita and the Birth of Japan.
On board. I'm on board for that.
Yeah, I think there's like so many subtitles now of Doraemon movies, we get to the point where we can effectively watch the original version of the movie, and then the 21st century version of the movie as well.
And don't we have like loads of listeners from India when we do those?
We do get.
Oh, we should do an intro. Is it Punjabi? I think it's Punjabi. We should do a Punjabi intro.
Whenever we do Doraemon or Shin Chan, it puts the listenership up.
Yeah.
Anyway, next week though, I hope to do the anime that didn't make us, if we can find someone to guest. Or if we can't find someone, it'll just be me and Anthony. Otherwise, anything you want to plug, Lewis?
My YouTube channel, Car and Mechanical, it's car DIY stuff. Occasionally there's some JDM stuff on there. So a tenuous link to anime. Also maybe Instagram under the same name, Car and Mechanical. And that's it.
Anthony, where can people find you Twitching?
Twitch. Soon to be Mixer. No, I'm joking. I'm not moving to Mixer. Twitch is AntAskew, and also Twitter is AntAskew. That's where you can find me.
And you can find me on Twitter @awesome_engine, and that's Ibanacon. Come November. for three different things. It'll be Year's Best Anime, Mass Extravaganza, and Brain Melting Anime. So I better crack on and prepare them.
And also the Golden Shower Hour, as we discussed earlier.
That is not going to be any of the panels. That will never be any of the panels. I've got other bad ideas for panels before I get to that one.
So it's on the list.
I never know. It's on the list. He penciled that down with the title. penciled down the idea, but the title was in a Sharpie because he liked the title.
I feel like it just made me be Dragon Ball Shin-chan, and Shin-chan Chips.
But everybody would laugh. Every time it happened, people wouldn't get bored.
Would it just be... I wonder what the research looks like for that. How would you find out?
Oh, he'd be in prison after a few days, have to explain himself in court, but he'd get the research done.
I think it's a brilliant panel name.
It is.
It is, but I don't know whether you'd want the sort of people who would come to that panel to
you'd know if the incident started, you'd look to the crowd and see if it was a good idea or a bad idea.
I'll be going, oh dear, there's Lewis and that.
In the front.
What a bad idea.
You'd expect the usual suspects.
Anyway, that is not happening. That's if Anthony wants that to happen, he's gonna make that his own realization.
Oh, I'd look like a creep. You get away with it, Brian. I think people would be like, oh, look, there he goes.
It's finally come out.
Yeah, finally revealed.
Truth will out. anyway, Brain Mousing Anime, yeah, that will not be in that. It will mainly be weird stuff that I like, and I'm going to force you to watch clips of it. And maybe some weird stuff that I don't like that I forced myself to watch clips of in order to include it in the panel. There's one thing in particular that I really need. I don't want to watch, but if I'm going to do this panel, I'm going to watch some of it.
Good.
Because it needs to be mentioned in
it. Good.
Kimono Friends.
I thought... that thing. Is that what I think it is?
That thing.
Let me just double check.
The CG thing animal
people. The zoo? Is it in a zoo or safari thing?
Safari park, yeah.
I thought you'd watch with the great that theme before, tune. You know. I thought you had.
No, I've included it in Mass Extravaganza because people like it and the theme tune's good and there's loads and loads of parody videos.
You hadn't even watched it.
And I haven't watched it. Secrets are out. I don't necessarily like everything I put in Mass Extravaganza. Hence the, I've not watched any of Attack on Titan either, and there's definitely been plenty of Attack on Titan videos in there. Rightio, we'll be back next week, hopefully with the anime that didn't make us. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.